Good morning, Millersburg Mennonite. It's good to connect with you all, at least via this way, this morning. So I was reading an article this week in the Washington Post. Did you know that it is estimated that 60 million Americans experience heartburn at least once per month? And of that 60 million, there's another essentially 15 million of that population who actually have heartburn every single day. Essentially, this means that 18 to 20% of our population have significant issues with indigestion, with upset stomachs and heartburn. My family is known to have chronic stomach issues. In fact, by the age of 19, I had actually gotten my first stomach ulcer. And through the healing process, I started to learn some things about myself. I learned that the source of my stomach issues was not really at all food related. I learned that actually there's two things that really sort of exacerbate and make the situation worse, and that is one, lack of sleep. And the second thing that I learned was that the main source is stress and anxiety. Now, this is where it gets interesting to me. If you go on and begin to research, I found in a recent scientific study that 18.1% of Americans suffer from anxiety. Now, scientists have come to believe that there is this strong correlation, a correlation between this 18% of folks who have anxiety and this 18 to 20% group of folks who have issues with heartburn. Now, they haven't fully defined all of the connections, but if I'm speaking from my own experience, I would definitely say that these two things are related, that one feeds the other. See, we live in a society that is isolated, that is overworked and underrested. Without a doubt, when we live this way, it can have significant impacts on the amount of stress that we experience and health issues in our bodies. Of course, being the people that we are and the society that we are, consumerism offers and provides for us an infinite number of possibilities to cure our stress. And there's probably along with that another 100-some pills that'll take care of our heartburn when we experience it. See, our bodies, they carry and they hold stress and anxiety. But our spirit, our mind, and our bodies can only maintain this heightened adrenal response of an overtaxed life for so long before they start to fall apart. I believe that more and more people in our culture are finding themselves exhausted and burned out. I think that we're becoming skeletons of what we were actually made to be. With our society's demand for success and productivity, it's no wonder that we're walking around spent. We're longing for moments where we can just use our sick days or maybe take a vacation. You know, some folks are out there really dreaming of retirement. They just can't wait. They feel so spent. And even unfortunately, there's some that have lost hope. And the only escape that they see is hoping and longing for death. Life this way is not living. It's like experiencing hell on earth. You know, over the years, I found myself participating in the daily grind, feeling anxious and exhausted, stressed out and overwhelmed. This has happened probably way more than I actually care to admit. You know, I've had heartburn off and on since I was a teen. And I recognize that some of this is genetics, but some of it is really because I've allowed stress to rule my life. I wonder if you've allowed stress to rule your life too. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have any stress in our lives or that life should just be easy. You know, life is going to be hard regardless. And I do recognize that for some of us, we have more privilege than others to live lives that are easier and less stress-filled. I know that, you know, to some extent, money does help. Quality of life, though, doesn't really get much better, statistically speaking, once your income exceeds $75,000 per year. So making more money in order to retire sooner or to get the things that you want to distract you from the stress in your life is not the solution. More money, a new job, more vacation time, joining a new community, buying a new car. Whatever it is that you might think of that's going to give you some relief, that you think would help you, doesn't really have a long-term effect. In fact, I think those things can only help us until they don't. These things provide nominal relief in our lives. I'm not going to pretend like they don't help at all. Owning a boat and floating out on the river, enjoying the sunshine, yeah, that can help. But these things, their assistance is limited and probably short-lived. As my dad would say, a boat is a hole in the water where you throw money. You know, these kinds of things are temporary. These things are going to let us down at some point. And the reality is that there's always going to be an opportunity for new stress in our life. And I just think it's important that we recognize this and we understand it and we're aware of it. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I really think it's impossible to eliminate all stressors from our lives. But what we do with the stressors that come, I believe with support, is within the realm of our control. You know, I've come to understand that apart from professional counseling or medication, if that's needed, what we need in our lives the most is perhaps more heartburn. Now, I know you're thinking, what? Like, what did he say? We need more heartburn. Now, I'm not talking about indigestion. Perhaps the question that we should wrestle with is, does Jesus give us heartburn? I recognize that this is also a bit of a weird question, but I want you to hang with me here a moment. In this morning's post-resurrection story, this appearance of Jesus that we find in Luke 24, Jesus, he joins these two men who are walking out of Jerusalem and down the road on the way to Emmaus. And as they're walking, they're discussing and they're talking about everything that happened the previous days before when Jesus died. When suddenly Jesus kind of walks up on them and joins them. But somehow these men, they don't recognize Jesus. And you know, I thought about, why wouldn't they recognize Jesus? You know, they're very distressed. You can hear it in their tone of voice as you read it. And you know, I thought, maybe that's the reason that they didn't recognize him. At times when I'm distressed or stressed in my life, I can't see Jesus either. I wonder if that's the same for you. So we learn that these men, they had given up hope, saying this about Jesus. We had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. And as they're walking and talking with this man who we know is Jesus, Jesus begins to open the scriptures to them. He's beginning with Moses, and then he goes through all the prophets, and he's explaining everything that was in scripture that was concerning him and his life. And the men, they are so inspired by this dialogue that they have with Jesus, so they strongly urge him to stay, if they can just get a little more time with him. And so we find them sitting around the table again with Jesus. And Jesus, he takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it. And instantly they see Jesus. And then Jesus disappears from sight. And I'm imagining this scene, and I think they turn and they look at each other. And the scripture says that they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road? And he opened the scriptures for us. And this is where my question comes in. Does Jesus give you heartburn? You know, as I read these words, I wanted to better understand what was really behind them. What were these men really saying? You know, with any time you work in translation and you go from one language to the next, some of the beauty of the language is lost. And when it goes from Greek to English, I think there's things that we miss. And so what I did is I went back and began to look up these words one by one. And I first looked up the word heart, which is the Greek word cardia, which makes a lot of sense. And this word is translated as heart, but it's also translated as mind, character, inner self, will, intention, or center. So the concept of the heart to the original readers is that the heart is the affective center of our being. So then next I looked up the word burning, which is the Greek word kao. And this word is often translated as kindle, ignite, to light, or to burn. Now the concept of burning to the original readers is that it's a lit fire that consumes. And that's the important part. It's a fire that fully consumes. Last, I looked up the phrase opened the scriptures. And this is a Greek word, and I'll try not to slaughter it too much. Dianoigo. And this word is translated as to open up completely. The concept is actually being opened fully, as in there is nothing that is hidden, that it's all brought to the surface. So with this in mind, let's put this all together. As Jesus explains these scriptures to these men, this is the picture that comes out. Their entire being, the center of who they are, was lit on fire and consumed. Jesus' words completely and fully opened God's words so that nothing was hidden. I want you to imagine with me for a second what it might look like if Jesus set us on fire and consumed us. What would it look like if we let Jesus invade the center of who we are and completely and fully overtake us? Essentially, burning away everything that once was to make room for new growth. What would or could the world look like if it was full of people who were consumed by Jesus? You know, as we look at history, I do think that there are glimpses and snapshots of the power of a consumed heart. As I think of the stories of the early martyrs, or even folks like Dr. Martin Luther King, who gave their lives for the cause of Christ in the world. But I've also seen it in other ways. Like groups of folks standing in solidarity with their immigrant brothers and sisters, putting their bodies on the line, or the frontline medical workers risking their lives to care for the lives of others. Now let's go back to the story. Did you notice what these men did after having their hearts set on fire by Jesus? The scriptures say that they got up and they instantly headed for Jerusalem. This is the very place that they had just fled. A place that wasn't going to be safe after having a risen encounter with Christ. So they had left Jerusalem in distress and pain, maybe even fear. And they returned to it, consumed and filled with the peace of Christ. See, this is what happens when we surrender to Jesus. As it says in Philippians, a peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, it seems to me that you can't burn that which has already been consumed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say it again. You can't burn that which has already been consumed. May we let Jesus consume us until all that is left is Him. So my prayer for us this morning comes in the form of some song lyrics. This song is by a band called Leland, and the song is called All Consuming Fire. Help my restless heart that's prone to roam and wander in the dark. Let your kindness draw me near. Keep me here. Teach me how to trust, laid out on the altar of your love. Let your mercy draw me near. Keep me here. For I know I was created to be loved and overtaken. All-consuming fire. Oh God, you are an all-consuming fire. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. Keep me in the flame that purifies until only you remain. Set me ablaze. In your presence I'm changed. You make all things new. With every breath I breathe inside of you, a song of joy begins to rise. I come alive, for I know that I was created to be loved and overtaken. Amen.